I said, the gospel today is the gospel of the grace of God, which is Christ died for the forgiveness of sins, was buried, and was resurrected from the dead to justify you. So I give it to her. I said, trust the gospel and be saved right now. Otherwise, you will be going to hell. It's just that simple. So she got the gospel, whether she liked it or not. Now she's been exposed and told her option is to either go to hell or trust the gospel now. There is no other way. She can't say it at Revelation 20 at the great white throne judgment, I never knew. That's out. She's headed to hell if she doesn't trust the gospel. Now, she says, religious lies. Paul is not my apostle. Paul is dead. There are no apostles today. Jesus returned when he said he would. Huh? None of Paul's instructions were to anyone today, but to fools who were awaiting his return, which he promised them would be before some of them were standing there with him and tasted death. I don't think this is a sane person I'm talking to. Religion sows you false hope, is what she said. My friend. No, she ain't my friend. Jesus ain't coming back. He's already here, and I don't follow Paul. Neither do I follow Jesus. He follows me. As he goes everywhere I go. And this is what I told her. Mickey, that's her first name. I have just told you the gospel of the grace of God. It's the only way a person can be saved to have eternal life. I don't believe that anyone has ever explained the gospel to you before. Do you? But since you have heard it now, there is no excuse you can use before God to keep you out of hell. The Bible has just condemned you to hell. The only way to escape hell now is to trust that gospel before you die. If I can answer any question for you in the future, please PM me. I'm not wasting my time with someone with a belief system such as yours. And I know what Titus 3:10 says. That's what I told her. Amen. I'm not wasting my time. Somebody else that I can talk to and you can talk to will listen. You may have to go through 1,000 people to get to that one that the Lord wants you to talk to. But that's what's going to happen. And she says, there is no hell. Well, Johnny, when you get ready, you're going to do that service on hell.
I don't have to do it, brother.
You're going to have to. It's these people like this. There is no hell, no boogeyman, no devil either. Jesus didn't die for me. That's what she said. He came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's the first thing she's got right in his earthly ministry. He did. Romans 10, what is it? He was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, not to us in Matthew 10, 5. But to which I have never belonged. Well, she got that right. I was never under the old covenant. She's correct. Never under its law. She's correct. Never needed to be redeemed from it. That's the law. She's correct. Jesus already returned. She's wrong. Satan already cast into the lake of fire. He is. Well, what's the book of Revelation about? It's finished, she says. Fulfilled. Over and done. That's just one of the sums that we talk about. I talked to another individual I'm not going to. He's Catholic. And I don't mind telling the whole wide world that's looking at this video, your Catholics are lost, headed to hell. But I thought you might kind of want to hear some of the things that's out here. I mean, this is not a Muslim, okay? I mean, I don't know if she's in a denomination. But the fact of it is, she's lost, right?
We got one going to rescue just like that.
Is that right?
Yep. Joe Waldorf. I don't mind telling you who he is.
Well, you just told the world, and I'm glad. Now, with that in mind, I wanted to talk to you tonight. That was the prelim, okay? I wanted to talk to you about one of the most important truths that we must learn. It's prophecy versus mystery. Now, I want to explain 2 Timothy 2:15 again to the best of my ability. There may be a little bit more to it than what I'm going to do tonight because I'm just going to cover the 2 Timothy 2:15. You know, But so we can get involved in this, because prophecy versus mystery. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It shows you somewhere that you're going to a judgment. Well, we know in AD 33, we were already judged and found guilty, and we're in need of a Savior, or we're headed to hell. So we know that. But the word of truth that we just discussed a little bit of, you find it in Ephesians 1:13, what it is. The actual, it's the gospel of your salvation. But where is that actually located in the Bible? Is it located in prophecy? Uh-uh. Our gospel is not in prophecy. Is it not in the Old Testament? No. Is it in the New Testament? No.
No, it ain't.
No, it ain't. We're going to cover that. It's not in the New or the Old Testament.
It's the mystery.
Now you're coming.
That's it.
Now. So we know 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4 is the fact that Christ died for our sins. And we're not going to go in and explain the differences here. But Christ died for our sins. And it's not according to the Scriptures. For this dispensation right here, the dispensation of the grace of God. And we know it's called the gospel of the grace of God, not the gospel of Christ for us in this age. It's preached to every living human being.
Amen.
The one prior to it that the gospel of Christ was preached to was preached to the people in the covenants of promise. The people that weren't without God and without hope like we were, the ungodly Gentiles. But He was buried and resurrected from the dead to justify us, according to Romans 4:25. And now what happens after that? You read Romans 5:1, He says, you have peace with God. And I'll tell you what, you have the peace of God. You know, the older you get, you start wondering, hey, you know, when am I going to drop dead? Well, that's not a good thing, way to say it. But when you're going to go to sleep in the Lord if you're saved. Right? Well, do you ever wonder if, where you going? Are you going to heaven or hell? If you're wondering and you don't know, you're lost.
I know.
You are absolutely lost. I don't care what you say you believe. If you don't know emphatically beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're going to heaven, you don't have the peace of God. You just don't have it. Now, everything you've ever done, every endeavor, every hobby, every occupation, it has certain skill sets. You want to be an automobile mechanic? Got to have certain skill sets. You want to work for the state? You worked for the state, didn't you, county? He worked for the county. Had to have certain skill sets to do what he did. And I'm going to talk about something that pertains to Lynn here. But you got to have certain requirements and certain parameters for each job, right? Now, with that said, what's the most... This is broad here. We're going to bring it down. What's the most important thing I need to know? That I need to know. What's the most important thing I need to know? That you need to know?
Jesus is our Savior.
Well, I can ask everyone, if we're not in this class here, we know that. But if we can ask each and every one of you, it may be something that pertains to your job, maybe something that he did when he was on in the army or whatever. But every one of you would probably give me a different answer. But if you asked a meat cutter, you ever cut any meat? I know you have. If you asked a specific meat cutter, you can put this with any occupation in a grocery store, what's the most important thing I need to know to be a butcher? Listen to this. You can ask a novice, somebody that's, you know, just untrained. It's just hired in that day. And he says, very quickly, he says, don't cut yourself. Well, that's a good thing. Don't cut yourself. You might ask somebody that's been there for a little while. It's called an apprentice. You might say, hey, he said, wear some warm clothing because it's cold in here. And you got to keep your meat cold, right? Cool. But then you get to this person that's been there forever, the seasoned professional. And that person may say, be careful where you put your knife because it determines the value and price of whatever meat you're cutting. So think about what the customer wants before you ever start cutting. You see the difference? You got three answers and every one of them was correct. They just weren't fully thought out. And that, just because this is a seasoned professional, and I'm talking about a seasoned pastor been preaching 50 years, does not necessarily mean he knows what he's talking about. So, but see, everybody give an answer. But who out of those three is a butcher? Who would you like working for you? You want that seasoned guy, the pro that's been doing it for many years. He already knows you shouldn't cut yourself. He already knows you got to keep your meat cold. And now he knows the quality of his cut determines really the price that they're going to get out of that meat and how much that guy wants. Absolutely. Now, if I was to ask you what's the most important thing I need to know about Bible study, what is it? You got an answer? What is it? Anything? Well, see, you're going to get a lot of right answers on this. A lot of them. But who do you want to listen to? You want to listen to the novice that just walked into class? We ain't talking about you, Dan. Somebody has just heard about Jesus. And if say he heard Christ died for his sins. Well, that's all he knows. You want to ask the apprentice, somebody that studied a little bit, and he says, well, you know, he was buried and raised from the dead. Well, that's even better. But you want to ask this individual that says, Christ died for my sins, or the world's sins, was buried and resurrected, for our justification. And I know you need to study in Romans through Philemon. You need to follow Paul and all go over what Paul's talking about. He's encompassing everything. Not just he died for our sins. You see what I'm saying? The novice versus the apprentice and so forth. Now, we covered what 2 Timothy 2:15 says. But yeah, it's one of those kind of things, you know. Rightly dividing the difference between the mystery and the prophecy program. Now, I title this tonight, Prophecy versus Mystery with a question mark. Prophecy versus mystery. Now, I'm going to show you something. And this is my belief, and I absolutely believe I'm correct, or I wouldn't be telling you. Rightly dividing the word of truth is distinguishing the Apostle Paul, which is our apostle, his gospel for this dispensation, from all other gospels in the Bible. Is that correct?
Yes.
But you know what God does whenever you do that? When you do what is instructed in 2 Timothy 2:15, what does God do? He separates the Bible. But that's the only way you're going to find out. He separates the Bible into prophecy versus mystery. Amen. Ain't that something? Amen. It's done for you. You don't have to go in there, a raw student, right off the a person coming in, first time in here. You're going to tell him, well, prophecy versus mystery? He ain't got a clue what mystery is, and he might not know what prophecy is. But when you show him, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And then show him it's the gospel of your salvation, and it's different from the Apostle Peter's. That's the first thing, not prophecy versus mystery. You don't start out searching prophecy versus mystery, because most people, and I'd have to ask Lynn this, because I didn't go to no Bible college, and he did, but the fact of it is, they teach prophecy over there. But I don't know, I bet they didn't preach mystery.
No, they didn't teach mystery. They didn't know anything about it.
So, here's the thing. You've got to be able to recognize that there are two separate and distinct bodies of information in this Bible. Now, I'm going to show you this thing. Well, you see it drawn up over here. I'm just going to use the first one as an example. Matthew, before the cross, before Christ was crucified, is Matthew, 27, verse 50. Anything, I think that's what it is, Aunt Randy. Anything prior to that is all Old Testament. Then Christ was crucified. Then the New Testament was just a tiny little bit. You know, Joel came in just a little bit. We found that out last week when the brother was teaching and so forth. Just started. And then prophecy was interrupted by this mystery period. And that's what you got to go. Now, I want you to look at Luke chapter 1. Let's go over there to Luke chapter 1. And we're not in a rush. Luke chapter 1. That which is described as prophecy and the prophecy program is that which was, listen now, spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets. Since, that word, since the world began. Since. In Luke chapter 1, verse 70, Luke writes, as He spake, talking about Jesus Christ, God, as He spake by the mouth of His holy prophets, this is God, which had been since the world began. Contrast that, or not contrast, I'm going to back it up again with Acts chapter 3, verse 21. Let's see that. It's since the world began. In Acts chapter 3, verse 21, let's take a look at it. In Acts chapter 3, verse 21. Whom, talking about Jesus here, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God, listen, hath spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. The holy prophets wrote it down. They spoke about it. That's prophecy.
Amen.
But separate and apart from what all the prophets spoke about since the world began is the mystery information, which none of the prophets spoke about, because the mystery had been what? Kept secret since the world began.
Amen.
Wow. It was kept secret. And we're going to go over there and let's do it right now. Romans 16. Now, you already know what Acts 3:21 is. You don't have to go back because I'm going to read them both again. Romans 16. If you'll just read your Bible and believe the words on the page, you won't have a problem understanding these simple facts. And I'm not a brilliant individual, but I even understand it. So, in Romans chapter 16, verse 25 and 26, Paul writes, now to Him that is of power to establish you according to My gospel, that's talking about God, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Could I say that was spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets there? No. It was kept secret since the world began. Now, but now is made manifest. It's now come time. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. But I want to show you this. You see, this was kept secret. That meant it was in the scripture. If it was kept secret, because I'm going to contrast with 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, according to the scriptures. What part is that? That's this part that you and I were talking about this morning, Romans 11, 5, the election of grace that Paul was supposed to go out and pick up. Now, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. Paul writes this. I don't care what that Mickey gal said. Paul is my apostle.
Amen. Praise God.
Yeah, without Paul being in this book here, and without this mystery period being here, we would be doomed, damned, and headed to hell. That's just the way it is. Now, we're kind of in a timeout period. It's a mystery period. Ephesians 3:9. And to make all, Paul says, and to make all men see, that's his job, what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Well, you know, that's not in prophecy. But I want you to see the difference between Romans 16 and Ephesians 3:9. One was what? Kept secret since the beginning of the world. Notice that. Contrast it with in Ephesians 3:9, which from the beginning of the world, not since the world, but before the beginning of the world, hath been hid in God. No prophecy involved whatsoever. Now, you can see that that which was spoken by all the holy prophets would have to be different, wouldn't it? Than those, what we read about not known by anybody. I mean, you can't miss that. If it was spoken, this is kept secret. If it was spoken, this was hid in God. That can't be the same. Wow. Now, most people, and I like what Jan talked about Sunday. He said one thing that I did like really a lot. He said, I'm going to try this. He said he went up to witness to somebody, and he knew this guy or heard of him or something. And he knew the guy was pretty sharp. He didn't know anything about salvation. He didn't know anything about right division. And he knew whether somebody had told him what this guy would do. So he went up there and he took his Bible and he went up here. Let me show you where I'm at. Let me get to it. Where's this at? I'm not going to do it right this minute, though. You see that page, it says New Testament on it. He said before, he knew he was going to meet this fellow, so he said he went over there and ripped in there and ripped it out. I did. I didn't plan on doing that, but I did. I felt the urge. A publisher put that in there. So he said that he started witnessing to this guy, and the guy says, "That ain't so. That book says New Testament." He said, "Don't you know that there's a pub?" Well, first, before he told him that was a publisher put it, he said, "Look, here's my Bible." He said, "Go ahead and show me that." "Well, you can't show me that New Testament page anymore." And the guy says, "Wait a minute. That's supposed to have a page that says New Testament in it." Well, Jan says, "Well, it don't." And the guy was freaking out. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, all y'all going to go home and rip your page out, ain't you? Because that is not New Testament. Anyway, I'm not telling you to do your Bible that way.
Well, I do this
right now. Now,
but it's not New Testament.
It's not. Well, we're going to get to that too, Randy. You're absolutely right. We're going to get to it shortly down here. Now, go over to Jeremiah 31, would you? Jeremiah 31. And we know when we get here, it's not talking about me or you in this dispensation. It's just not.
Amen. Lord, amen.
Now, Lynn knows a lot about this prophecy. Well, probably a heck of a lot more than I know. I'm a gospel preacher, guys. I'm not a prophecy preacher.
The gospel of the grace of God.
The gospel of the grace of God. Now, in Jeremiah 31, let's see what it says. "Behold, the day is come, saith the Lord." That what Lord is that? That's God. That's Jesus. "Behold, the day is come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Wow. But I'm going to read another one. I hadn't planned on it. "Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand," that is God, okay, "to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive..." Listen to this, this is what he's saying. "For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more."
Amen.
That ain't us. And we could go on and on, but we're not. But in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8, let's look at that. We're talking prophecy. This right here has not been fulfilled yet. In Hebrews 8. 8, 8. Boy, you step on a lot of people's toes when you say, we're not in prophecy. No, wake up. 8, 8. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Didn't you see that in Jeremiah 31, 31? Is it come to pass? No. Because what? It's mentioned in Hebrews that it's still going to happen. It is future. It ain't happened yet. Even though it was in Jeremiah. So, the prophecy program is centered around who? It's centered on the Old Testament people. Who is that? Israel. It's talking about Israel receiving their kingdom on this earth. When we go to the heavenlies, Ephesians 1:3, all of our spirit, we have spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We're going to outer space. Now, you can say what you want to, but that's where we're headed.
Amen.
Well, that's right.
We're headed to the third heaven. Now, Jesus Christ is going to be known to them, the Israel, as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's going to have a lot of high priests helping him out. We're not a priest, and we're not going to be a priest, okay? Go over to Revelation 11, would you? This is going to come to pass. This is prophecy. Well, where did this come from? John, the apostle that the Lord loved, went up and talked to the angel of the Lord and was shown this when he was living on the Isle of Patmos. So he went up. And it says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. But now see, there was something unknown to all these people that knew all this prophecy. What was that that was known? That was unknown. It's that God would reveal a mystery program by which God would create, listen to this word, a celestial creature. A celestial creature to operate in heavenly places. You got Terry Estel. That's down here on this earth. And you got celestial. That's up there. A creature to operate in heavenly places. Why? It's for his glory, not yours, not mine. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm trying to show you some prophecy versus mystery. And 1 Corinthians 15, verse 40. Paul writes, and he says, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. That just tells you the celestial is out of this earth. In Ephesians 1:3, and I'm going to read it, I just told you what it was, but it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Colossians 1:16. Let's see what it says. And it's not going to be here too far in the future that I'm going to be doing this service. And I did it many, many, many years ago. There's all kind of problems that people like to gripe about on it. You may agree, you may disagree, and that's okay. But I'm going to be teaching starting in Genesis 1:1 and showing you what happened in between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. And then we'll talk about the recreation of the 6 days and resting on the seventh. It's called a gap theory, but the fact of it is, half the people believe it, half of them don't. But it's just me. In Colossians 1:16, for by him, who's him here? That's Jesus. Were all things, not some things, but all things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Jesus.
Amen.
And for him. Well, what does that tell you there? That tells you a lot. We ain't going to go into everything it says. That tells you that Jesus had presence. You see that little triangle over there? And I'm going to draw it over here. He's in heaven with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Here and go to the cross. But the fact of it is, it just said right here,
Brian, is it breaking up for you too? I mean, not on Pal Talk here, but are you direct? Anybody direct? Is it locking up on the channel, or it is here and as I view it? Okay, we'll just hold on here and hope it comes back then. Mine still says live. So I guess he's still transmitting. I don't know. Hang in there. When he's done, we've got What He's Born Again, parts 3 and 4. We've already heard 1 and 2. This will be 3 and 4 tonight, and hopefully finish it tomorrow. Let me refresh this page, see if that helps. Well, it closed and reopened, but, there's Facebook. Let's see now. It's coming in. I mean, it's got the circle.
And if you're not preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, you're dooming and damning and sending people to hell. And one day, at the judgment seat of Christ, if you're saved, you are going to be surprised. Your works are going to be burnt up as wood, hay, and stubble.
That's right. Amen.
Just a fact.
It is written, Pastor. Isn't it in the concordance in the back of the Bible and the mystery?
What's that?
The mystery. It is written down.
They're in there.
Yeah, according to Revelation of Mystery 16:25.
Yep. It's in the book. But it's in Paul's epistles, Paul's letters, or Paul's books, however you want to say it. It was given to Paul, our apostle. That's the key. You ain't got to go there. We've already been there. Ephesians 3:9. I'm going to read it again. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. What is the fellowship of the mystery? Come on, somebody tell me.
What we're talking about right now, basically. You're bringing it to
me. No, I'm going to show you. I've told you 100 times now. Come on, listen to me. What is the fellowship of the mystery? The people out there are not going to be able to see this, but I'm going to use what I got on the board. The fellowship of the mystery is this ungodly Gentile dogs can be saved in the same body as those people that were the remnant of Romans 11:5, those that blessed the seed of Abraham. We never did. We cursed the seed of Abraham. That right there is the Jews and the Greeks that were in the synagogues that Paul went to. And you have preachers out here, and preachers, if you're listening to me on Facebook, whoever can get this to you, if you're preaching, you're starting in Acts chapter 9 with the gospel of Christ, and it's preached all the way up to the rapture, you need to go back and learn what the Bible says. Amen. All right?
Yes. Amen.
This is serious business. It's serious business. And I take it seriously. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
The fellowship of the mystery, that we ungodly Gentiles could be saved in the same body. That's awesome.
That is awesome, yes.
Read Ephesians 2, 11, 12, and 13, and you're going to find out what it is. We were ungodly, hell-deserving sinners. As a matter of fact, we may be saved right now. We're saved by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We deserve hell. I put Christ on the cross, and so did every one of you. You know, I was talking to Lynn or somebody else today, maybe Jerry on the way up, about that. We put Christ on the cross. And He loved us before the foundation of the world. He loved us before He ever spoke the first grain of sand into existence. Did we love Him? My God, no. If anything, we despise Him. We worship Diana. We worship those statues made with hands. Idols that the Catholic Church, I want you to hear me on the video, that the Catholic Church worship as graven images. Am I afraid I'm going to offend somebody? No. I ain't. I'm too old to worry about it. We're going to get it on. From now on, we're going to start getting it on. I ain't doing enough.
Bring it on.
Bring it on. Now, I just, see, you may not like my term here. You might not like it at all. And I don't care what the churches think. If you're a Baptist, Methodist, whatever you want to call yourself, Mormon, you just name it. You just put a label on you. I'm a grace believer. And here's what I'm going to say you probably won't like. If you're not preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, you're a cult.
Amen.
You might not like that term. Look up the definition for a cult. It might not fit that. But I'm going to tell you, when you're preaching something other than for salvation, and there is no other way to be saved other than Christ dying for your sins, buried and resurrected, that's a cult, for as I'm concerned. Every one of them.
Amen.
Yeah. You know, it's a shame we don't have a Dodger Stadium to do this in, so I can tell about 100,000 that, and then have some bodyguards to keep us from getting killed, but I'd do it. If not me, Johnny, get up there and do it. Wouldn't you?
I'll try.
I'm waiting for that sermon on hell. I'm going to put you on the spot. Get it together, brother.
I promised you.
Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Paul is writing, and he's got some people with him. And he said, I'm going to wait you get over there. I'm going to take another swig of this Tom Thumb coffee here. Oh, it is. It was freshly brewed over there. Paul says, let a man, listen, this is very important. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God.
Amen.
Are you a minister of Christ? Yes, you are. If you're saved, we all have a ministry. Every one of us. You may not be the one up here at the pulpit. You got a ministry to go out and witness to somebody. You got a ministry to go out and share the gospel of the grace of God. You got a ministry to once you're saved, you're created. Ephesians 2:10. You're created unto good works. Your works won't get you saved, and the continuing to do works won't keep you saved, because you're eternally saved, and you're sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, and Ephesians 1, 13, 14. We have the earnest that dwells in us. What is that earnest? It's the Holy Spirit.
Yes, it is.
He dwells in me. Wow. He didn't before. I couldn't understand anything. I could read the words, most of them. Some of them I'm saved now. I can't even pronounce them. I wouldn't name my child that back in the Old Testament. I'm telling you that.
That's right.
I can't pronounce the words. But that doesn't matter. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries. Most people have missed this word mystery. They put on spiritual blinders. They go to their Westview Baptist Church or wherever they may want to go, and they listen to the preacher, and now it's time to go. It's lunch.
Amen.
They're not there to learn anything. They're there to either for their business or to look good or show their clothes or show their cars or to show somebody something.
Amen.
Put spiritual blinders on themselves. And they call themselves, Randy, New Testament Christians. Oh my God. Do you know that term does not exist in the Bible, Dan? That's not in the book. Most everything they believe and call themselves born again ain't in the book. Not for the term that they utilize it. Born? A New Testament Christian? Give me a break. How can it be a New Testament Christian? But they don't know when it started, as Randy said. I like that. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, guys, contain much of the information these so-called New Testament Christians strive to pattern themselves after. Who are we supposed to pattern ourselves after? The Apostle Paul. Let me read it. Let's go over to 1 Timothy. Chapter 1. Verse 16. Ain't that what you said, man? Let me get over here. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, how be it for this cause? He was talking about him being a sinner. He was the greatest enemy of God on the face of the earth. That this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Verse 16, how be it for this cause I obtained mercy, for in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. He's my pattern. Who's my pattern? Paul's my pattern.
Amen.
Goodness gracious alive. They strive, these New Testament Christians, they strive out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to pattern themselves after the doctrine in those. What would Jesus do? You got an armband that says that? Throw it away. If Jesus Christ came back to the earth today, what would he say? Follow my man that I sent you. His name's Paul, and he'll move on.
That's exactly what he did. Yeah.
Goodness gracious. Now, you can't conform to the Old Testament. It's not for you. You can't conform to the so-called New Testament. And as Randy brought up in Hebrews 9:16, you don't have to go there if you can, but I'm going to read it. Hebrews 9:16. We can give the reference, but I'm telling you what, you need to hear it. In Hebrews 9:16, for where a testimony is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. The testator was Jesus Christ. He wasn't dead until he says, it is finished, and he gave up the ghost.
Amen.
You know what he did right then? I don't care what so-called our brother believes. Right then, I'm going to tell you what I believe. He told that penitent thief, today I'll see you in paradise. Paradise was in the center of the earth. It looked like this. There's paradise over here. The gulf in here, which was a void. And hell right here. This is called the underworld. Hades, it's the underworld. It's in the center of the earth. So Jesus Christ left that cross the moment. Now his body didn't. His spirit left and went back to God. But his soul went to hell. And you can read about it in the book of Psalms. Oh my God, it's all over Psalms.
It is.
I believe he went down there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He went straight in there. And within one day, Because he told that guy, today you shall be with me in paradise. So it had to be within a day. He went to hell. God, as he was in that mire and mud and everything else, he already knew that it was by the scriptures that God wasn't going to leave him in hell. He already knew by the scriptures that none of the bones were going to be broken in him. So he went to hell, but God circumcised him with a circumcision made without hands over in Colossians.
Yeah, Richard.
Hey. He sure did. And he cut the sins away from him. And at that point in time, during that first day, because he said in the day, in this day, he went to paradise, Abraham's bosom, and he took captivity captive. Because he went here, and who was there? Abraham was a bunch of people. But you know what? If Jesus Christ hadn't went there, he says, I'm the one you've been looking for. If he hadn't went there, they'd still be there. He took them captive and he took them to heaven. And this, as Randy just said, hell was enlarged. That's what it says. Take his guff out of there. Hell was enlarged. Isaiah 5. All right. So, to me it's plain. Somebody don't believe in hell. He's never read the Bible.
Right.
You know, look, I'm going to tell you something. We've all been ignorant of the Bible. I know you have, because I have. We're all like that. But the Lord gives you sense enough after you get saved to start reading it and studying it, going to Bible classes, doing this, doing that, teaching classes, preaching, whatever the case may be. Reading, understanding, being wrong, somebody correcting you, or vice versa. They being wrong, you correct them. There's nothing wrong with that. I was ignorant, and I'm still ignorant on the most of what the Bible says. But I'm not ignorant on all of it anymore like I was.
Amen.
Yeah, I just want to learn. But I'm telling you some of the truths that are in there. Now, we're just getting cranked up, and I hope you ain't ready to leave.
Bring it on.
Do you know that all these New Testament Christians, most of them sit down and they pray for the furtherance of thy kingdom? And I think of that, and I think of Matthew chapter 6. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Well, I ain't waiting and looking for no kingdom to come. That's coming to the earth. That's coming to Zion in Jerusalem. Are you looking for that? I ain't looking for that. Right. I'm looking for the rapture, the day that my body is going to be changed like in this glorious body, and I'm going to rise up, and I'm going to have a new body without blood. I'm going to be with Jesus Christ forever.
Praise God.
Oh, my God. But they pray for the furtherance of the kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth is the key. On earth? No, it's not on earth for us. Now, when this mystery period is over and our bodies are changed and we go up to meet the Lord in the air, this mystery is over. Grace is over.
Prophecy
starts back. It's just a timeout period. Do you know what Satan is having preached all over the world today in the so-called Christian world? The gospel of the kingdom of heaven. And you know what it's not scripture, but I got to tell you what I believe. You know what I think he's going to have preached during the book of Revelation to start off? Grace. Grace. Don't work over there. It's just right the opposite. People still going to have a Bible here. All these so-called guys and gals that they think they're saved, they still going to have this book, and they're going to find grace in here. And he's going to encourage grace. Well, it won't save anybody then.
Right.
Now, look, if you don't trust Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, before you die in this dispensation of the grace of God, and you've heard the message, you've heard it tonight if you're out there on Facebook, then what's going to happen? According to Thessalonians, you will be sent a strong delusion to believe a lie, which is the Antichrist, and you will believe him, and you'll take the mark of the beast. the biggest thing of anybody in this entire world is the survival of themselves. You won't be able to buy. You won't be able to sell anything. You've got children, grandchildren. You'll take the mark of the beast to keep them alive. You'll do that to save yourself. Oh, my God. What a plan. You think Stephen King could write something like that? No, I don't either. Shakespeare, maybe? I've heard somebody say, well, you know, Shakespeare wrote the Bible. Give me a break. Now, in Matthew chapter 25, let's look at it. Matthew 25. You getting cranked up yet, John?
That's right. Bring it.
Matthew 25, verse 34. This is before the cross. He says, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, ye blessed of my Father. Ye is a plural word. It's going to be more than one. It's not an individual. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. God did not prepare a kingdom for you on this earth before the foundation of the world. He just didn't do it.
No, he didn't.
Goodness. Oh. But what was kept secret? The mystery information was kept secret since the world began. So it can't be either Old Testament or New Testament. Neither one. Ain't that great? We found something. I didn't discover it. Somebody did and told me about it. E.C. Moore told me about it. But I told a lot of people about it. I ain't told enough yet. But I told some people. They can either believe it or not. I used to spend countless times and hours trying to show these people. They don't want to believe it? Give them a couple of admonitions and move on. I'm telling you now, do that. Somebody out there is waiting to be the last person to be saved. We just don't know who it is. It may be somebody you witnessed to tonight. Somebody trusts that gospel of the grace of God and we're out of here. Now, I'd like to get out of here before I physically die. You know what I'm saying? I would. It would be nice. Paul was waiting for that rapture himself. Then he finally realized he ain't going to make it. That's why he's instructing others.
I hope I make it.
I hope you do. I hope I'm right there going up with you. You ain't going to need that thing with wheels on it anymore.
All right.
I'm telling you. You'll be bad to the bone then. Not that you ain't now. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, guys. I know you know most of these, but sometimes it's been a while since you looked at them. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. But we, Paul writes, speak the wisdom of God in a what? A mystery. So it can only be that this involves neither the Old Testament nor the New Testament if it's a mystery. Right?
Right.
That's just obvious. In 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Yeah, I can see we're going to go a little longer here. So I ain't worried about it. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 9. If you notice the last word of verse 8 of 2 Timothy 1, it says God is the last word of 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy, let me get that straight. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, the last word is God. Verse 9. Who? God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works. Well, that ought to eliminate it. No works. But according to His own purpose. It's God's own purpose and grace which was given us in Christ.
Amen.
Jesus, before this ever began, that the world began right there, it was before here. You know, and I hate to bring this up. Well, I don't hate to bring it up. It's just not my plan here to go. But the fact is, this is called foreknowledge. God knew everybody in here tonight. God knew everybody that's going to be watching this video now and forever. He already knew about it before he ever spoke the first grain of sand into existence. And he saw that if somebody lost in here, you're going to get the gospel. They're going to get the gospel. He knew at this point in time if you would trust it during your lifetime. He's already saw you being born. He's already saw you dying. And he loved you no matter how bad you were in between. And he loved me because I was pretty bad. I don't think I was bad as Johnny, but I was pretty bad. I'm just kidding. We're all bad.
That's right.
And E.C. Moore said, even the bone's bad. It's in us. E.C. said, you're not worth the gunpowder to take to blow you into hell. Well, that ain't much. Just a little bit behind that little bullet. You dead. But anyway. Foreknowledge. I ain't going to get off on that. I want to, but I'm not going to. Now, look. If you're sitting down, let me just take Lynn over here. Lynn's sitting down. All of y'all. I want to show you a contrast. When you stand up on your feet, or opposed to falling down on the ground, or falling down on the porch, that's the difference between prophecy and mystery. Standing up, or either where he's at, or falling down. Is that a difference? That's a difference. If he stands up, that's a difference than falling down on the floor. I mean, who can't see that? There's a difference. So that's the difference between prophecy and mystery. It's just that cut and dried. It's just that obvious is what it is. My goodness, man. I ain't through yet, Lynn.
Bring it on, Bruce.
Man. The prophesied earthly kingdom. The earthly kingdom, now remember that. It's all about Israel's rise. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But the time of the mystery, blessings come as the result of Israel's fall. We're going to go with the scriptures here in Romans 11:11 in a minute. But the only way a Gentile could be saved was by blessing a Jew. It's through Israel's rise. But that changed.
Yeah,
and it changed when they were cast away. See, at the cross, they stumbled. Almost fell, but they didn't. Then they started diminishing by the scripture in Romans. We ain't going to go to them. And they diminished until they were cast away in Hosea. And that's Acts 28:28. They were cast away. They're no longer God's people. I don't care who you're looking at. They just ain't. But they will be again after this mystery period is over. And I'm looking forward to that. I don't care about Israel, be honest with you. I'm curious about what's happening in this dispensation for us. That's exactly what I'm concerned about. Now, I think my batteries is going bad in this, but that's okay. I'll get loud enough here in a minute. Now, in Genesis, you don't even have to go there. Genesis chapter 12, he says, "And I will make of thee a great nation." God was talking to who? Abraham. Abram. It was Abram then. He was a Gentile then. Huh? I thought he was a Hebrew. Well, he was later. He wasn't circumcised here in Genesis chapter 12, but he was later. Huh? Anyway, "And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." You weren't involved in that. Never have been. I seen that over there in the pre-prison epistles. It says Abraham is the father of us all. Well, he ain't the father of me, and he ain't the father of anybody in the dispensation of the grace of God. Just take it as it is. Now, in Romans chapter 11, let's look at it. We talked about it. Let's look at it. Romans chapter 11, verse 11. We're going to read 11 and 12. In Romans 11:11, it says, "I say then, Paul writes, have they, that's Israel, stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, Israel's fall, salvation is coming to who? The Gentiles. For to provoke Israel to jealousy. Did it say Israel? It said them. That's who it is. To provoke Israel to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Man, oh man, oh man. There's a lot of scriptures we could just go where, but we're not going to. We know through this diminishing and casting away, Israel, right now, the Israel you see over there is not the Israel of God. Listen, Israel is a country. Netanyahu is the president. I like Netanyahu, but that's not the Israel of God whatsoever in the Bible. No. But the thing of it is, Israel, I want to get this point out. Israel, and this is what people don't understand. John Hagee surely doesn't understand it. You've got to send money into him so he can, you've got to bless the Jew. So we can get all them Jews out of Russia and all kind of places and bringing them out. Well, Hagee is just, whatever. I believe he's lost. If he's not lost, then he's totally understanding what the Bible says. I've never heard him give his testimony as far as salvation goes. He may be saved. I don't know. But I know his teachings has absolutely worked. Now, Israel has no standing. Listen, no standing whatsoever. If a Jew wants to be saved today, the Jewish people, they have to trust the gospel of the grace of God, just like we do. You know, I had an individual that she goes to our church now. She's married to one of the guys there. She was a Baptist many years. Went to the Assembly of, she went to Brownsville Assembly of God for many years. Came back, went to the Baptist at Olive Baptist. And then she started going over. He's a grace believer. Now she is now. But the fact of it is, she started going to see this rabbi, this Messianic Jews over there in Pensacola. And Sunday I laid it on her. I told her, those Messianic Jews over there are lost, headed to hell because they're preaching. Oh, they believe in Christ. Just don't believe the same thing the gospel is, but they believe you've got to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38. Messianic Jews, lost, doomed, damned, headed to hell. Now in Romans chapter 12, let's look at it. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Paul tells us about what we should do. You know, you can either do this or you don't have to do this as far as salvation goes. But the fact of it is, it's better for your life and people around you, etc. And God gets the glory out of this if you adhere to it. Be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. That don't happen very often. It don't. Everybody's out to shaft everybody else. Well, let me sell you a car. I wonder how cheap I can get him down. Well, that's okay, bargaining. Well, you get him down, he wanted $1,000, you got him down to $400. Now, this gets to a point, you're taking advantage of your brother. That's not brotherly love. Get him down as low as you can. If he's agreeable, fine. Just don't beat him to death in case he's got to have money for, and I'm going to tell you this, in case he's got to have money, his wife's pregnant, he needs it to go buy her some medicine or something like that. You can get him down. You can get him on down to $200. The fact of it is, that's wrong on your part. Are you going to hell for it? No. You can't lose your salvation. The fact of it is, treat somebody like you want to be treated. Get the best deal you can. I like to, well, I ain't going to use that term. In Romans 3:22, I'm going to read it. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Christ, of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. Now, I want you to see this. Is it your faith that saves? No. We all have a different measure. Johnny's got a different measure of faith. Lynn's got a different measure of faith. Carson's got. We all got a different measure of faith. But what saves is we have faith in the faith of Christ that God would raise him from the dead.
Amen.
And he did it.
Yes.
Ooh-wee. Got a chill on that one. Knowing that he did it. But in Romans 3:28, he says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. I want you to see where this is at. It's in Galatians. We're talking about the body of Christ, but we're talking about who is in the body. It's that remnant, the Jews and the Greek, that blessed the seed of Abraham. That's who he's talking about, if you'll see the word. There is neither Jew nor Greek. He didn't say the ungodly Gentile here. There's neither Jew or Greek. At that time, we weren't. It was hidden God. Nobody knew about it.
Amen.
There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We weren't even thought about right here, except in the mind of God. Paul didn't have a clue about us here. Nothing. Nobody on the face of the earth had a clue that we ungodly Gentiles who would eat pork, catfish, shrimp, you name it. You know, you'd probably sleep with your stepmom. And that happened. I can name so many people out of there in the Old Testament. I mean, my God, you got to be kidding me. It sounds like a porn story, part of it, but it's not. Solomon had 300 wives and an unknown. Do you know how many concubines he had? I don't know, but it was a bunch. It's hard to keep one satisfied today. New house, clothes, cars, you name it, food, you know, name it. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, what happens the moment you trust the gospel of the grace of God? For by one Spirit are you all baptized into one body. The church, the body of Christ. Spiritual, invisible church. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. What does that mean? That's the Holy Spirit. We're all involved. That Holy Spirit, that's where we're at. Now, since the Old Testament and the New Testament deal with Israel and Israel's prophesied kingdom, for somebody to call themselves a New Testament Christian is to butcher the word of truth rather than to rightly divide it. You don't have to rightly divide the Bible. It's not rightly dividing the Bible. You rightly divide the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, as we talked about, from all other gospels, the gospel of the grace of God today. That's what you do. And then God has set it up. Once you learn that, you start seeing what was spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets and what was kept secret and what was kept hid. It divides itself. You can call it dividing it, but it's not rightly dividing the Bible. There's nowhere in there the Bible says rightly divide the Bible. It's not in the Scripture. Now, you've got a lot of people out here that's out there preaching. I can think of one. Used to come here. Kind of big, tall, knew everything, can't teach me anything. We don't mention his name. You know who I'm talking about, don't you? He's out there preaching right now. He's a novice. He's a novice. He don't know what he's doing. He's got a few things going on. He may even be an apprentice in certain things. But he's not a seasoned pro at this because he doesn't really know. It's not only him. There's thousands of so-called preachers out here. And the more I'm on Facebook and the more friends that a so-called make out there on Facebook, I don't know them personally, but I appreciate them because I can learn from them. I can cut what they... I know the truth. I can cut what they've got partially, throw that away, and keep some of the truths. Hopefully, some of my posts will get to them, and that's why they're friends of mine out there. They don't know that. They do now, don't they?
Yep.
I want them to know what 2 Timothy 2:15 is. Now, I've got to tell you, I'm just going to finish it up with this. I've got to tell you, I have sent not quite 3,000. I'm approaching 3,000 friends out there. on Facebook. And the thing is, it's to aid and to help the ministry. It's an aid for me to try to get the truth across to somebody that doesn't know it. And I had an individual, of all of the reason I told you about the number, I think it's like 2,800 right now. The reason I wanted to tell you that, I've only had one person when I've listed that 2 Timothy 2:15, come back to me and says, "What does that mean?" Everybody else just blows it off. "Oh, he sent me a scripture." They blow it off. And so, I think she was from New York, can't remember, but it was a wonderful conversation. She loved the Lord and all this kind of stuff. "He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, you know, Yahweh, no, Church of Assembly of God," or something like that. And she was very receptive, and she kept asking questions, and I kept giving her answers. And we did that for about an hour. She thanked me. She said, "I got to go now," and so-and-so. But see, she got over her head. She don't know nothing. She learned something. I don't know how much she learned, but I know how much I told her on the on the post. It was a PM, is what it was. I don't like going out and posting for the public because it's a private conversation between me and you, Randy, or whatever. I don't want everybody to know what you're saying and I'm saying about it. And that you'll have everybody in the world trying to jump in your conversation, say, "That's not true, you're a liar." You know what I'm saying? They get into Facebook and they start warring, and nobody learns anything. So that's how I do mine. I'll post some stuff out there, but mostly I'm going to post something probably tomorrow. Might even do it. I want to do it in the daytime, so more people will see it. And I'm going to post out there about the gospel of the grace of God. It's going to be very simple, just very simple, about the gospel of the grace of God. And most people have never even heard the term. So if they have never heard the term, how do they know what salvation is? How do they know what to trust? They don't even know who their apostle is. The preachers are leading them, as it says over in 2 Corinthians, they're false apostles. It's Satan's angels of darkness is what's leading them down the wrong street. But it's not only the minister's problem that's preaching that. It's their problem because they won't look it up and find out if that man, or in this case, a lot of women's out there preaching. I didn't know there was that many, but boy, there's tons of them. But they won't find out if their preacher is preaching the truth. They just take his word for it. He's still standing on top of them chairs or on top of this pedestal. They just love him because he's closer to God than they are. No, he ain't. I'm not. You get across a guy that wants that kind of status in his life, and they're there. They're there. You just need to move away, get you another church, find somebody you can actually study with. But anyway, that's what I have for you tonight.